Sermon title today is There Is Still Hope. Thank you, ma'am. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you grateful that there is still hope. We look forward to it. We expect it. And Lord, we're asking for a word today and divide it up in all the ways it must be divided up to reach each heart that needs hope. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the coming of your Son. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Advent hope gives us that feeling of expectation. Think of things that you expect to happen, but think of how many times you've been disappointed when you expected something to happen and it didn't. That doesn't happen with Jesus. When we talk about our hope in Jesus, our hope is not misplaced. You know, in high school, I played Eveline in The Wiz. I think I've told you this before, but live with me and walk with me. Eveline had her big song was, "Don't Nobody Bring Me No Bad News." Okay. And so, you know, she walks in and she's striking at the slaves and saying, "Don't bring me any bad news." There's something about bad news that sometimes we can get caught up in. We can get caught up in listening to bad news. We can get caught up in reading bad news. Because for some reason, we think if we read enough about it, if we hear enough about it, we know what to expect, and we can kind of control it. We can control how I'm going to react when it happens or whatever happens. It can become addictive. It can affect your mental health. It can affect your physical health. Because something about bad news makes us feel we got it. I know what's going to happen. The practice of it can bring on anger, stress, uncertainty, anxiety. If you're feeling any of those things, be careful what you let in. Be careful what you let in. Because now when we let in this hope, I want you to walk out with it today that there is hope, there is promise, and God keeps his promises. The scripture for today, Luke 21, 25, 30 through 36. I'm first going to read it in the NIV, which we heard a little bit on the tape. So let me read through that. Thank you, Hannah. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Let me say first, Jesus was telling his disciples what was going to happen because they were so impressed with the temple that they're like saying, look at that, look at all that. But he says, listen, when the end time comes, none of this is going to be left. Let's keep going. People will faint from terror, apprehension of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Please remember who he was talking to at the time. He was talking to the disciples. That was a long time ago. Keep going. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Now, I like the way that was said, right? I don't want to skip. I just want to immediately go right to, I immediately want to go right to the Message version. And you're going to hear the same thing again, but you're going to hear it differently. Ready? Here we go. It will seem like all hell is broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, and sea is in an uproar, and everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom, the powers that be quaking. The powers that be would be quaking, okay? And then they'll see the Son of Man welcomed in grand style, a glorious welcome. When all this starts to happen, up on your feet, stand tall with your heads high. Help is on the way. He told them a story. Look at the fig tree, any tree for that matter. When the trees begin to show, one look tells you that summer is right around the corner. The same here. When you see these things happen, you know God's kingdom is about here. Don't brush this off. I'm not just saying this for some future generation, but for this one too. But for this one too, also, okay? These things will happen. Sky and earth will wear out. My words won't wear out. But be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise, spring on you suddenly like a trap, for it's going to come on everyone, everywhere at once. So whatever you do, don't go to sleep at the switch. Pray constantly that you will have the strength and wits to make it through everything that's coming and end up on your feet before the Son of Man. Okay. Everybody get the hope out of there, because I've got to, you know, if you don't know God at this point, you hear that, you'll be worried. You'd be very, very worried. We're going to look at three themes today. One is anxiety that will be shared by many. Mending happens after breaking. And the redemption of the world is the outcome. So let's think about this, anxiety in common. We have anxiety in common. Jesus says that it will seem like all hell is broken loose and people would feel as if the wind has been knocked out of them with the threat of doom, is what he said in the Message. Jesus understands fear. He understands anxiety, because if you remember when he was in the garden, what did he say? If you are willing, remove this cup from me. If you are willing. So he gets it. When we get anxious, when we get concerned, he knows what it's like to feel that way. But you know what he did? He went forward anyway. He didn't give up right then. He didn't get caught up in it, but he felt it. We might question our faith when all seems to go wrong, and we might feed into that because everything's going wrong. Reading it, listening to it through the media, worry about uncertainties presented in the world. We'll feed into it. The author, I've spoken about him before, there's a theologian named Buechner, and he writes in an essay called Grace. It's a book about grace. And he says, grace looks like something like this to God. Here's what he says. Here's your life. You might never have been, but you are, because the party wouldn't have been complete without you. Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Nothing can ever separate us. It's for you I created the universe. I love you. Can you imagine God speaking that to you at your worst moments? Believe this and place it in your heart that in the midst of anxiety, because we have hope in Christ, we are hoping and we are expecting the righteousness of God to win out over everything that we're uncertain of. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes must be reminded of that. Over everything, I don't have everything right. Jesus does. None of us have it all exactly right, but we know the one who does. We also experience deliverance when we feel like we remember from past experiences how he has delivered us. I love going back to that. He reminds his listeners that you've lived through difficulties in 29 through 31, that they have lived through difficulties before. This is not new. And he uses the example of the fig tree. Because when we see it, I've had this tree outside my window, and I'm always looking at springtime for leaves to come on them. And it is that the trees right in front are dead as doorknobs. I mean, there is no way that leaves are going to grow on that tree, is what I say. This tree is going to be dead, Lenny, and we're going to have to cut it down. Every spring, I say the same thing. And then suddenly, I wake up one morning, and boom, there's the leaves. Suddenly, the same will happen. It will look barren. It will look hopeless. But God, our hope. Experience is a good reminder. Reminding ourselves and each other to care and comfort during trials, that we can be comforted by that. And we need to tell other people that who are feeling the stress of it all. And as a matter of fact, they don't know God, right? People who don't know them are feeling desolate, who don't know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're feeling desperate. The bird flu, the price of eggs. They're feeling desperate. But God, he's got it all in hand. He's got it all in hand. Let's go to the next part. Mending happens after breaking. I don't know if you've ever broken something. I haven't. Thank God, please. I have not. But if you've broken something, you didn't know it was broke. And it starts to mend back, but it doesn't mend back correctly. Then what do they have to do? They have to go back and break it again. Just so that it will mend correctly. The systems of this world have to be broken. And they're longstanding. Treatment of others, harmful cultural norms must be mended, renewed. Jesus warns us in 25 through 26 about instabilities that will be revealed, resulting in people fainting from fear of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of heaven itself will be shaken. Often these verses are interpreted as it's going to come from evil, but Jesus says they will see the Son of Man coming. That's when it's going to get shaken. The Son of Man is coming. That's not evil. That's hope. Hope fulfilled in the cloud with power and great glory. Now these things begin to take place. Stand up and raise up your heads and begin to know our redemption is drawing near. The heavens are shaken up. There's a theologian named Carolyn Lewis, and she talks about how upheaval is necessary to uproot harmful practices and introduce God's loving community. She says, but the birth of Jesus is an apocalypse. God's revelation of God's very self that will change everything, that will reveal a new world order. And worlds that depend on certain powers and privilege are not prone to entertaining alternative views of authority. When Jesus comes, nobody's going to want to listen. I've got the power. I've got the authority. It's all in me. Not true. The birth will anticipate, that we anticipate, will bring with it deaths that we have to accept. And that's the deaths of our thinking, the deaths of our systems we've put in place. All that has to die. but God. We often interpret these passages as applying to individuals, but much of the Bible is more concerned with human beings living in community with one another, not just as us as individuals. We've got some authors, Borg and Croson. I know y'all don't care. They write in their book, because you're not going to look it up. The First Christmas, where the Gospels really teach us about Jesus' birth, that God's dream for us is not simply peace of mind, but peace on earth. Wow. It's not only for our peace of mind, but there's a bigger picture at play here. Peace on earth. Thus, the world systems that marginalize and separate and divide people, think of all the things that do that, will not exist in the fullness of the kingdom of God. Because God's system, God's community, is built on mutual respect and love. And that will be flourishing. Anything that divides us and them will pass away. Who's looking forward to that time? There will be no more us and them. It'll be, this is us. This is us. What is the outcome? What are we looking for at the end? The redemption of the world is the outcome. The world being redeemed. And if you notice, we seem to have the opportunity in every generation to think the world is ending. If you go backwards a little bit, people living through a plague during medieval times, the world's ending. Might have thought that. Service people fighting in World War I and World War II, the world was ending. Jesus says in 32, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. We're encouraged not to get caught up in looking at doomsday. You know, when the world shut down during COVID, this is it. The world is ending. Everything stopped. But it's unhelpful to cope with anxiety that way and to continue to look at what's wrong, what's wrong, what's going on, and get weighed down by the dispensation and drunkenness, discouragement. That's not helpful, is it? With all the brokenness we witness, the anxiety we may feel is understandable, but herein lies our hope. Ready for the hope? While we look forward to Jesus' second coming and the fullness of the kingdom, we experience the kingdom now. Jesus told us what his kingdom values are and consider what they are. In Luke 6, 27 through 31, I don't have that. So just listen. You can look it up and follow along. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Anybody got that down to a science yet? Jesus, whose birth we are celebrating in the next few weeks, is returning. Good news. Expectation, hope. And he's returning to redeem not just individually us, but redeem the world by mending its broken, hurtful systems, and by comforting those who've had to live in anxiety's grip within the shadows of those systems. In the meantime, we prepare for his return by living our lives of love toward others and celebrating the righteousness of Jesus as it inspires a hopeful expectation in a very anxious world. Amen.